Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 21, Youth Culture. Many people equate the 1960s with a youth culture revolution. The reality was much more complex, day-glow and tie-dye notwithstanding. But few regard the early 19th century in similar terms. Perhaps things were more complex then, too. That earlier period saw another sort of revolution. Potters, starting in Stoke-on-Trent, England, used ongobes in bewildering and previously unheard-of ways. Acidic stains dripped onto wet slip created dendritic patterns. Multi-chambered slip dispensers dripped cat's eye and cable patterns. Wet pots rolled in crumbs of colored slip, and then left as is, or smoothed out, created agate-like effects. There was also polychrome sponging, fan patterns, scrottle or marbled clay inlay, machine lathe notching, sprigging, feathering, marbling, and more, individually or in combination. Contemporary accounts described this work as dipped ware or mocha ware. Regardless of the name, one would be hard-pressed to find a time period that used slips as creatively or as daringly. Two curious trends get passing mention in dipped or mocha ware accounts. During that time, skilled potters emigrated away, were fired, from Stoke, destined for the U.S. and elsewhere, due mainly to increasingly mechanized shop work. At the same time, and for the same reason, young men and women, mostly just teenagers, but also preteens, increasingly took their place. Adult designers, probably, worked out many of the techniques before turning the kids loose. Adults also still made the molds and worked many of the lathes. But increasing numbers of youths worked in several areas of production, particularly decoration. What was the social fallout of this sea change? How must skilled tradesmen with years of experience have felt to suddenly find themselves redundant and replaced by who? Neighborhood kids? And what about those kids? It was borderline slavery, to be sure. Grueling physical labor, interminable hours, rock-bottom pay. But ample diary entries, from young factory laborers on these shores at least, also attest to the factory lure. Kids finally got off the farm, away from the house, from under the thumb of parents. They worked in a building surrounded by their peers. They earned their own money, and the product they churned out swept all before it with its flamboyance, its price, mere pennies, and its massive scale of production. Mocha became a gold standard in pottery for years. And it was done by kids. Difficult? Yes. But also empowering? Liberating? Awkward in any case. Then again, we are talking about youth culture. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember that melodramatic line in the world's first gothic novel, Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus, by Mary Shelley. Did I request thee, Maker, from my clay to mold me?